day with Jesus sweeter than the day before. You know, I've learned that to be true. I really have. It's a journey that we are on, and God is just good to us in and through it all. We do have tough days. You know, I've been in this series on the times of our lives, and the more that I study this and as we move our way on through it, I'm finding that it's personal. It's pretty personal when you look at some of these other times of our lives that we'll be studying in the coming weeks, and personal convicting to me. So I look forward to spending time with you on God in God's Word concerning them. If you got your Bible, turn with me, go to the book of Proverbs. Would you do that, please? For many, many months now, longer than that, probably even into the years, we've been taking some of these Wednesday nights, and we have been speaking to you and going through the Bible, looking at various different prayers, simple thoughts. I'm doing a lot in the book of Psalms, and we'll probably revisit some of those as we go and look at different ones as well. But the book of Proverbs today, there's a thought that is the Lord hath revealed to me, and I'd love to share it with you this evening and ask Him to help us with it. If you found your place in Proverbs chapter number 14, Proverbs 14, when you do, would you join me? Rise to your feet, please. Would you forgive me? Proverbs 13. Turn a page back if you may need to. We'll look at one verse of Scripture. It's a wonderful verse. It's one that caught my attention, and I'd love to share with you here. Proverbs chapter 13. Look with me in verse number 12. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Ponder upon that for a moment. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. Our Father, we come before you. We do so this Wednesday evening in Jesus' name. Grateful to you, Father, that we can come to you in prayer. Thankful to you, Father, that we have a Bible that we can talk to you and we can use to talk to us. That, Father, we are able to enjoy. We thank you for it. Thank you for the presence of our Lord and how that we can enjoy your presence. Now, Lord, I pray, Father, that you bless our time together tonight and in this one verse, the simplicity of it. I pray that you'd speak to our heart in and through it. It is for this, in this, that we will give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for standing with me. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight just around the simple thought of what I'm calling trusting God. That's what it was. Did y'all hear that? I'm sorry. I didn't have lunch today. My stomach growling there. My fault on that. I knew we had a problem there. But trusting God's end game, and keep your mind set upon that here this evening when we consider this matter of God's end game. Did you know that God has an end game for everything that is going on in our lives? Now, we hear a lot about these matters of games and end games. I think a lot of that has to do with what we've seen going on now in this season of the year. There's a lot happening. You've got college football that is in the prime of the season. You've got the NFL that is playing. You have got people gearing up, of course. NBA will be starting in a few months. And just came through the Olympics. And, of course, the World Series would certainly attribute to that of what we just saw end last night at about 11 o'clock. Somebody say amen right there in North Georgia, all right? Oh, yeah. The Atlanta Braves took that home last night. That was good to see. But we see a lot about this matter of game plans and the strategies that go into games. And you think about these guys that are in these athletic teams and games, and you think about the managers, you think about the coaches, and you think about all the various people, even the players that are involved in them. And whenever you have a losing team, and I already heard it as I was monitoring the World Series, the postseason in baseball, and whenever you have a losing team, you know what they do? They scrutinize every decision that had been made throughout the series that may have turned or flipped the series this direction or another that may have caused them to lose. And you start scrutinizing those things and casting blame and questioning why you did this in your strategy and why that you did that. And then you've got the winning team as well. And every time it seems the winning team, the winning coach or the manager just looks like an absolute genius when they have come through. And we heard a little bit of that was going on as well. And you always do hear those things, those aspects of the games that go on. And I love listening sometimes to the baloney that you hear in the post-game press conferences from the losing team or the winning team. The losing team and all the pundits and everybody's questioning their strategy, the winning teams that are out there, the manager or the coach will sit there and say, oh, we knew everything was all right. You see, this is part of our strategy. It was part of our game to go through 13 pitchers in one game. It was part of our strategy to have nine of our guys strike out. We just knew what we were doing. We had everything figured out. We had an end game plan. That's what they'll all say. Did you know, friends, that God has an end game plan for everything that is happening? God's not shaken one little bit by what is going on in this world. He's not worried about the immigration, the border issue that you hear everything about. He's not worried about the supply chain issue that you hear everything about. He's not worried about the nuclear weapon in Iran. He's not worried about North Korea. He's not worried about the economy and how it's been stunted and all these sort of things. He's not worried about any of those details at all. God has an end plan that is going on. Do you know that it'll be one of the greatest days in our lives when we, as the children of God, learn that God's got an end plan for your life? And for my life, He's got everything under control. He knows exactly where you're at, and He knows exactly what His next move that He desires in our life is. You know, one of my greatest desires is to make the move that God has planned for me to make in my life. The next thing He's got, see, I don't want to get out of God's will, and that's a lot of what He's dealing with right here in Proverbs chapter number 13. He is dealing with this matter here of making sure, and it's critical, that you stay daily in the will of God and the plan of God. Because with that, you'll find what you need to survive for Him. And with that, you will make it to God's end game. And you'll find exactly what He has got. Now, when we come to these verses in Proverbs chapter number 13, we find Solomon, the son of King David here. He is writing to us. He is really dealing with the matter of contention. This matter of contention, did you know that is somehow, in some way, always rooted in pride? You'll always be able to trace the matter of contention back to pride. You have contention in a marriage? Somewhere there's a pride problem. Where? I don't know. Each one is different. You have contention with your children? Somewhere there's a pride problem. You have contention in maybe your job or whatever. Churches, there's pride problems. Just our daily life that we have, there's pride that comes up. Pride creates contention. This is really what Solomon is actually dealing with here and letting us know that staying in the will of God will require us to deal with pride. It will require us to be able to keep this matter of contention in line. So as we come here to verse number 12, we find something that really ought to be somewhat convicting to our hearts. It also ought to be something that we should take to our lives and take very personal to us, because it is in this that we find the secret to God's end game. Now, I want you to think about these three things real quickly with me here. We'll spend some time in prayer tonight. Chapter number 13 and verse number 12, I read to you a moment ago. And as we look at it, draw these three thoughts out of it. First of all, we see in the first part of the verse, there is a hope that is dampened, or a hope that is diminished, we could even say. Look at the Bible again in verse number 12. He says right here, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. The word deferred right there, just referring, of course, to it being diminished. It's being dampened, and that's what I'm referring to right now to you, with you. You see, there are things in all of our lives, every one of us sitting here right now, there are things that we are hoping for, right? There were many people on the edge of their seats last night hoping that the Atlanta Braves would win. There are people in this room that have matters going on in your life. You are hoping for a certain type of result, that the end game will be with you casting a W up there. You're hoping for that. It is the desire of your heart. As of a matter of fact, it is this matter of hope that keeps you and I going each day. Can you imagine what it would be like to wake up, say tomorrow morning on a Thursday morning, and have no hope? You could wake up and you have heat, keep you warm. That's great. You can wake up and you can have a bowl of Rice Krispies to keep you fed. That's great. You can wake up and you can have your spouse beside you or your family with you. That's great. You can wake up, you can get ready, and you can go to work, and you can do whatever. That's great. What would it be like to wake up tomorrow morning and have no hope? The fact of the matter is, you can do without those Rice Krispies for a little while. You can do without those relationships for a little while. You can do without any of those matters, that job or whatever it might be. You can do without a lot of things for a little while. But you cannot survive without hope. You and I need hope. Hope is the fuel that drives our engine. And right now, many of us are hoping for something in our life, a certain outcome that is going on, whatever it might be. You know where you're at. You know what you're dealing with. You know the struggles that you're having. You've just got hope. It'll all work out. That's what keeps us going. That's what drives our very life. There is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, nothing that will sicken our hearts anymore than when we get information or we get news that what we are hoping in, what we are desiring, all of a sudden we get news that there's a void. When we get news that it has been diminished, it's been dampened. There's not much more that'll put you in a downward spiral much faster than when you learn that what you had hope in is gone, or at least weakened. When you've got hope, you ought to rejoice. I'm glad I'm saved today, aren't you? You see, it is a blessed hope that I hold on to. What the joyous thing about this is, I can't lose it. It's a hope that I will carry with me all the way to the other side. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for those that knew right, knew they needed Christ, knew they needed to be saved. Rapture, trumpet sounds, Christians are called out. There will be a lot of people who know what's going on. They'll be deceived. Of course, the Bible tells us about those type of things. There will be some people who know what has happened. Can you imagine? You imagine that news. As NBC News comes on and talks about that strange phenomenon that they've heard about all of their lives, Christians being evacuated out of the world, and people sitting there and watching the news, and how all of a sudden what they had hoped in their good works, what they had hoped in their donations, what they had hoped in a good life, suddenly totally shattered, diminished, it's gone. And realize it's too late. I'm so thankful. Based on the authority of God's Word, I never have to worry about that. I settled my account, Brother Charlie, years ago. And it's all taken care of. But imagine what your life would be without hope. I encourage you tonight, you need to treat the hope that you have in our Lord in your life very, very carefully. You need to handle it right. Hold on to that hope. That brings me to my second thought. Not only do we see a hope that is diminished, but notice, secondly, we also see right here a human doubt. You see, whenever we come to the place in our lives where all of a sudden we get news that what we were hoping in has just been shattered. It's just been shattered right before our very eyes. It's easy for us to lose sight of God's in. It's easy for us to start losing the trust that we have in that. We had hoped, we had maybe even prayed, we had worked for, towards so long for one thing. And then with one phone call, with one thing that happens, with one encounter with somebody else, with one call into the boss's office or whatever it is, one visit to the doctor, our hope gets shattered. In those moments, it's easy just to get down and say, "Dear God, I did everything right. I was faithful to You. I gave to You. I shared Your gospel news. I tried my best to serve You and do what I could. This just isn't fair. You are supposed to come through for me. Right now, I find myself sitting in this clinic. Sitting in the break room at work, sitting in my car in the parking lot, sitting at my kitchen table after hanging up the phone. Dear God, now I just have hope. and you begin doubting the sovereign plan of God for your life and questioning every move you've ever made. Begin questioning, is God and His Word even I've lost hope. Do you understand today that hope will cause us to lose doubt if it just doesn't stay in our core life? If we don't treat it just right, our human flesh is strong. Are you made out of the same thing I'm made out of? I think you are. If not, I would love to get to know you better. I think we're made out of the same thing here. And folks, I've been there. I have been there. One of the most depressing things and circumstances that I've ever dealt with years ago, I believe it was 2002. We were just 3 years into our business and we'd had a really big year, great year, and hit some critical marks for our sales. And you know, we landed a large account over in Ottawa, it'd been a year earlier, and submitted a new bid for the next year's contract and didn't increase prices. Didn't do anything. We kept everything the same. Staffing the same. 7 people worked in that facility. Staffing the same. Everything was the same. Had no service problems that we were aware of. And anticipated no problems at all. And it was the week of my wife's birthday, I guess, coming up this next week. Week after next. And we decided to go to the mountains for a couple of months before we had children. We could just run out. We no longer than got up there and checked into our hotel that my phone rings from a man named Ed at that place. So we decided to go a different direction. We're talking about a deal into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's devastating. You talk about poor company on that birthday trip? Poor company. I was putting my hope in a bunch of stuff I should have never put my hope in the first place. I was. I remember how that my human heart just sunk. I'd lost hope. Everything that I'd worked for, everything that I'd built, and I'd worked hard, and I'd done my best, and I felt like I'd done a good job. One phone call. The little motel. On the backside of Gatlinburg up there, I could take you to it right now. Headed up to over Gatlinburg, I could take you to it. I found that my hope had been shattered. Human doubt just started flooding me. Am I doing the right thing? Dear God, where are you? In the middle of all these things. Now listen to me. Just because God does not answer our prayer and fill our lives with everything that we think we want, everything that we think we need in that very moment, just because He doesn't do it then, does not mean that He won't. God has an end game. It's our job to trust it. 6 weeks later, I received another telephone call from that very same man. I won't tell you what his words were to me on the phone, but it was an analogy that he gave of, have you ever met anybody that's ever made a mistake? See, what I didn't know about that deal is the company that they had gone with was actually charging them $23,000 more a year than we were charging. Blew my mind then. Why in the world did you change? Well, the reason they did is because that company came in and they promised them the moon. When they got into it, they found all these details. Come to find out, they fired that company, gave us a copy of their contractor description, and we ended up making the $23,000 extra that they were giving to. They said, we got it in our budget, and if you honor this, we'll give it to you. Trusting God's end game. It was a hard few days. It was. I didn't understand it. And I look back with shame in my heart because I did not trust God the way that I should have. And I let that ruin a whole lot of things for several weeks. And I mean, it shattered me. I thought I was on the right track, but God had a better plan that opened up brand new doors of expansion that I didn't even realize God was doing. God had an end game and I should have trusted it. I should have trusted it. I learned a lesson that day that helped me to trust God's end game. Things may not always look like you think they should on the surface, or maybe what I was used to. They may not look like that on the surface, but God sometimes just wants us to lean back and say, I trust you, Lord. I'm not going to let my human doubt get in the way. I'm not going to doubt God in the dark what I know He showed me in the light. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to be faithful with it and to it. And I'm just going to trust your end game and just see what God does. And I've seen it time and time again. And as weak as I am in my flesh, and as much as I struggle just like you, that encounter helped me. I tried to build on it through the years. God has an end game. But you and I have just simply got to trust. We've got to lean on it. We see in this verse, first of all, that there was the hope that was dampened, the hope that was diminished, we could say. Hope was gone. You were sick at your stomach. I wonder if that's where you're at. And if that be the case, that clearly will lead to that human doubt. You struggling. You're just so much more confused now. You thought you were doing right. You thought you were on the right track. And now it's just there. You can't get rid of it. Don't you forget, God has an end. Got to trust that. If we see thirdly right here, that'll lead to a happy desire. A happiness declared. You look at the end part of the verse. In verse number 12, and we actually see it. Into verse number 12, he says right here, but when the desire cometh, when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Words, things just start to make sense again. Notice it, when the desire cometh. Remember, God's got His own time. Why? A desire is something, if you study your Bible, it's something that builds over time. This takes us back to the importance of making sure that you're in the will of God, that you don't allow controversy of any sort rooted in pride to bring you to a place where you step out of God's bond. You miss God. Because when you do, you're going to interrupt your opportunity to have that delight. Have that privilege of watching God give you the greatest desire of your heart. Do not ever allow your human doubt to hinder that happy desire that God wants to give you. God may not give you exactly what you wanted, but staying in God's will mold our desires around what He wants. And we will find that we will be far happier in those circumstances. And we would have been who would have gotten what we wanted in the first place. He says it's coming. The light cometh. And when it comes, it's going to be like a fresh breath of life that comes into you. It's going to be just like God is pumping up all of that air that had been deflated out of the balloon of your heart. And it's going to carry you. God has an end game. And if we'll just stick with it and if we'll just trust it, we'll just do that. What we're going to do is we're going to see that when we finally do get the desire of our heart, we're going to see that it was worth the wait. And if we could go back and do it all over again, we'll do it. God always knows what's best. The key is staying in line and step. Don't allow that human doubt of your life to hinder that happy desire that God so desperately needs to do. God just wants to do it. God does all things. I've said this and shared this with you many times. I'm going to do this off memory. I hope that I can remember this. But I heard somebody say many, many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. We're going to see if I've ever forgotten it. He said something that impacted my life. Many of you may remember. But if you ever get your desire before your delight, you never will have any delight when you finally do get your desire. If you ever get your desire before your delight, you never will have any delight when you finally do get your desire. You know, it's Wednesday night. Nikki, can you come to the piano? Would you mind? Thank you so much. And you know, on these Wednesday nights, we rarely do this, but I just feel maybe some of us here tonight, including myself, I don't have time to get in today with how God worked in my life and shared a little bit about where I was this morning, how God just helped me, gave me hope about our generation, about our churches in the middle of a scene where, hey, it's easy to get overwhelmed with everything we're seeing happen in this world and the generation that's fallen apart. It blessed my soul to see some that are still marching on for God today. And God gave me some hope today. He birthed this in my soul. You can play whenever you're ready, Mickey, but I wonder tonight if any of us are struggling with this matter of hope the way that I found myself through the years. I wonder tonight if some of us are just in that place and in that situation where we realize that there is a hope that is there and we realize that sometimes it's like a kick in the gut when we get that news. Where our hope just gets shattered. Air just gets knocked out of us, sucked out of us. And then we allow that human doubt. And I wonder if some of us here tonight are allowing human doubt to get in the way of the hope that God wants us to have. What his end game plan really is. And maybe tonight we just need to fall down and say, God, I want to trust you. I want to look to see what you've got for me. Dear God, I need your help because I want to be happy. I want to experience that delight, that desire when you finally do grant to me what you see the big picture in that I cannot see right now. Stand to your feet, altars of God, or just take a minute. Maybe you just need to fall down and say, dear God,